Hi, welcome to Drop of Inspiration. I'm your host, Deidreen Joyce, and today I'm joined by Chief Sales Officer Ben Riley. Ben joined us as a guest host, and why don't you tell us a little bit about our interview guest today?
Well, I was privileged to speak with Casey Wiegand of the Casey and Chris Wiegand dynamic duo, Royal Crown Diamonds with us here at Young Living, and just great people, really great people. One of our fastest growing, certainly one of our fastest to Royal Crown, and lots of great stories. Hopefully the listeners will enjoy the podcast as much as we enjoyed recording the podcast.
Why did we choose Casey and Chris today?
They're pretty amazing. If you check out their brand, their personal brand that they've built through their online channels, very successful blog, but also even more so now if you look at their Instagram channel, is I think fantastic. Really have built a great brand and have built a great business as a result. And so I thought it'd be a fantastic thing to share. Not to mention they also have a beautiful family and yet another example of a member who kind of finds a way to have it all, who has a beautiful family and spends a lot of time, is very present with her family, but also is building a dynamic international business that is, you know, millions of dollars and hundreds of thousands of people. And so it's really quite an impressive thing that they've accomplished, and I wanted to highlight them.
Yeah, it was a total pleasure getting to know them. So what should our listeners pay attention to today during your conversation?
Well, I hope you do a few things. One, of course, pay attention to the tips that she gives regarding online, social media, building a personal brand, because she's done it exceptionally well. But I think also understanding that these are normal people doing really extraordinary things. And if you're listening to this podcast, there's no reason why you couldn't do the same thing. Maybe not even in the same way per se, but we have a diverse spectrum of people who have achieved great things with our business, whether it be Royal Crown Diamond or whatever their goal might be. And they're like you. So if you're thinking about maybe this is something I would like to do, put yourself in her shoes a little bit and realize that if you dream it, you can do it. And if you kind of see normal people who have been able to do this, hopefully you can take a page from their book and do extraordinary things yourself.
I know when I first started, I was a little intimidated about the essential oil world. But as I've gone on, I've met a lot of people who are really down to earth, really normal people, like you were saying. So let's jump right into Casey's interview. Thanks, Ben, for joining us.
My pleasure. That's, I think, where we want to start is tell us about just where did you grow up? What were your interests growing up? Bring us to kind of the point where you started with Young Living.
Okay. So I grew up in Dallas, Texas. I have always wanted to be a mom. Since I was a little girl, my heart was to have a bunch of little kids.
Did you come from a big family?
I only have a brother, so I didn't come from a big family. But for as long as I can remember, that's been like a dream, is just to have a family of my own and to have a bunch of little kids that I can, you know, love and pour into. And I wound up going to Baylor University, got my degree in teaching. Again, goes back to I grew up, you know, every summer going to camp and then becoming a camp counselor. Wanted to be an art teacher, just pour into little ones. And I love being creative. I'm an artist, so kind of taking all those passions, pairing them together. So I graduated from Baylor, was an art teacher, and I met my husband, Chris. He also went to Baylor. He's a creative, a dreamer, and you put two dreamers together. We decided to start an art school for kids called A Little Artsy. It was such a sweet, precious school where we really focused on not the product but the process, and we were much more focused on their confidence. And he was able to do photography and filmmaking. And so then we had our first child, Aiden, and I really wanted to be at home. And so we decided to step away from the art studio, and I came home, and he had been in the NICU. So I started to share kind of our story as a new mom with, we had just been through this journey with a NICU baby, and just shared it on a blog. I really thought maybe just my grandparents and our parents would read it. I never anticipated that it would become what it became. that's kind of the beginning of the story, but we went on, you know, to have more children. We have four little ones. And we had a long story of loss. I know we'll probably touch more on that later. We wound up having four NICU babies, three miscarriages. And my blog really became a place where I could share what we were going through. It felt really good for me to be vulnerable and kind of process through that. And then meet people all around the world that I could connect with that, you know, even when you're all spread out, there's this common thread. I just remember thinking, I can't believe I'm in Dallas and there's women in New York and California and they're all connecting with this story. And even though we're all spread out, you know, there was like this deep common thread there. And so it really became a community. It became so much more than I could ever imagine it to be, but I really believe I got so much more back than I gave. You know, I just was trying to process kind of what we were going through, and then I wound up getting so much more from these people all around the world.
When did you start your blog?
So Aiden's 9, mm-hmm. So it was about 8 years ago. And it's really sweet because, for example, after our first miscarriage, we got pregnant with my daughter, Apple. And still to this day, I will be out places and people will come up to me and say, you know, I've prayed for Apple every day since we walked your story of loss. And then we saw you get pregnant with her and she's like this little picture of hope. And so they have this connection to her. And it's so sweet to see that now she's 6 years old and she's been prayed for by, you know, I say strangers, but truly just people all over. So there definitely was a turning point. It started out, I actually had never seen what you would maybe consider like a professional blog before with sponsorships and big photos. I just had these tiny little pictures. I didn't even know that people were leaving comments on it. And I remember one night I was sitting. At the time, my office was up in her attic, and I was sitting up there, and somebody had posted this DIY wreath tutorial on Facebook, and I clicked it, and it led me to a blog with big, beautiful photos and sponsorships, and she had all these stories written. It was just such a creative, joyful place of light, and I was instantly connected to it. Well, I emailed her that night, which sounds really silly. This is a stranger, right? And I said, you have inspired me. So fast forward, my best friend, Danielle Berclio, she's Crown Diamond with Young Living. It was her blog. So I found her blog. She inspired me to then turn it into, I said, my husband's a photographer. You know, we can do this in a really creative way, merge kind of our giftings and what we already have going here. And then it really did start to take a different turn, a more intentional turn. There was a season there where I pulled back and really focused on Instagram and other forms of social media. But it's been really beautiful because of Young Living. I've been able to turn it back into a journal. It doesn't have to have the sponsorships and the pressure of it being a business. Now it just went right back to being a love letter to my kids and documenting feelings and things for them. And so that's been really, truly just a creative outlet and a gift.
That's nice. So what I really admire about the women in our business especially is the fact that it's a lot of work being a mom. Let's be honest. It's pretty demanding. And I think a lot of women are placed in difficult circumstances in the modern era where there's pressure to help provide for your family, but you want to be there for your children. So can you talk a little bit about that, about how you manage that and what Young Living does for that to enable you to be able to have, you know, be able to be present with your children, but also have a life additional or that kind of complements what you do as a mother?
Well, this is something I'm super passionate about. I want to be intentional in my home and with my kids, but I also wanted to be very intentional in my business. Something that I've talked to my team a lot about and that I love sharing is I think if we can just switch our perspective and shift that mom guilt. So I'm going to tell a story. I'll give an example. My first three kids were born and they were three under three. So it was just like all babies, right? So I had never had a baby with older children at home. So when I had Adelaide, it was just a different experience. And I realized quickly that I could let mom guilt set in because, right, you know how it is. It takes a long time to feed a baby and rock a baby. And, you know, just when they're done eating, it's time to eat again. And I thought, I'm not going to let mom guilt slip in. I'm so proud that my three older children get to see me nurture a baby. Like, this is a beautiful opportunity to invite them into these moments. So I feel the exact same way about the business. I want my kids to be dreamers. I want them to be hard workers. I want them to run after their passions. And so for me to invite them into this, it's going to stir dreams in their hearts. And I remember the second convention, the first one was in Dallas, so it was close by. The second one, you know, I was leaving and it was such a beautiful opportunity for me to get down with my kids and say, it's scary for me to leave y'all, as silly as that sounds, but I know this is my purpose. I get to go love on families, Crossline families, teammates, and you guys, I know that you're made for a purpose, and you know, for me to tell you that and not believe that for myself. So those are things that I know in those moments, things are stirring in them. And so, you know, it may not be till they're older till I really know the seeds that are planted, but I do think it's important for moms and dads to, if they can shift the way they see that, then they might not have that guilt or, you know, those little whispers that might creep in.
Yeah, and I know we've spoken before, I know it's difficult to leave your children. And that's what I feel it too. You know, when I leave, you know, you ache for your kids, but I also think sometimes it's good. It's good for your children to have other, adults in their lives that they get to learn from and also to appreciate each other. I think there's something about that absence that really does make me just love my kids and probably make more of the time that I have with them when I have it.
Yes. One of the hardest things for me as a mom has been in the letting go. But just like you said, there's been so many opportunities where I've had a little nudge and then I've seen all the good that has happened in those lessons and moments. And so I completely agree.
So one of the things that really seems when I look at what you do with social media, and I'm thinking Instagram specifically, but all of your channels, Facebook, much the same, it really feels like you integrate that into your lives with your children and with what you do on an everyday basis. Can you talk about how you do that exactly? And how do you make it something that's integrative, not exploitative? Does that make sense? Because you do it really beautifully. And I'd love to get your thoughts on exactly how that works for you. And maybe some of the listeners could kind of take from that.
Well, there was definitely a point, it was around the time that Apple was born, because of the loss and then her being born and then she was in the NICU, where the views on our blog post went so high that I said, maybe we should sit down and really talk about, you know, what this looks like for our family. And so we really decided that we want to share our life and we want to be a light and we want to share our story, but we also want to be very intentional that we're not ever doing anything that's embarrassing or maybe I'm not sharing something that's their story, not mine to tell. So even as they've gotten older, I really invite them into those conversations. My son was diagnosed with an autoimmune disease last year, and I sat him down and said, are you comfortable with people knowing, you know, what's going on in our family with you? And I think that's important because then they don't feel like they don't have a say, you know, and what's being shared about them.
I really love that, kind of bringing them into the process and discussing with them and involving them in the whole process. And as you say, what a great experience for your children to dream a little bit and be a part of that process. You do it so well, I can see that's working. So I think that's really great advice, probably just for, not just for children, but for spouses. How's it been for Chris? Obviously, your business has done so exceptionally well. It's changed a lot, I'm sure, in terms of your responsibilities and who does what. So can you tell us a little bit about that as well from your and Chris's relationship?
Well, it's neat because we've always, even before Young Living, we've always worked together. I know that's a lot of times when, you know, somebody's coming home from quote unquote, a 9-to-5 job. It might be a big change because they haven't maybe been in the home full time together. But Chris and I have always done that. And so it really just, it comes very naturally for our family. We love to all be together all the time. He is right there beside me, you know, in the Young Living business, in creative ventures, in raising our kids. We really are like a team unit. And so it's a beautiful thing.
That is beautiful. And it's not always easy. I hear a lot of couples that maybe didn't have as much integration early on. And all of a sudden, one of them has a big business. And then transitioning into that business playing a much larger role in their lives seems to be a bit turbulent. So would you say that's been the primary advantage, is having him really kind of along the entire journey and bought into and understanding what was happening from the very beginning?
So this kind of goes with what you're asking. I love Chris. Every idea I've ever come to him with, he's always said, like, how can I make that happen? He's such a support. He's so encouraging. And so just like what you said, for us to be kind of hand in hand from the beginning, it's been just a really easy, great thing. Also, his creativity, I'm not sure if you've seen, but he's done great videos. We have one that's a Young Living baby video. So for him to be able to bring in some of his talents and the way that he so artistically sees and is able to tell a story, I'm like, I need all your creativity to, you know, come help us do this. So it's neat to be able to use everyone in the way that they thrive, I guess.
I love that. It's like in my mind, how can I help? That's such a great attitude for a spouse, a partner, not just for the business, but just in general, right? Yeah. I think if we go with an attitude of how can I help, it obviously facilitates. And I think that's probably one of the best bits of advice you could give to a spouse is, if they have the attitude of how can I help, it's a great place to start, rather than this is what I can do or this is what I will do or whatever the case may be. So tell me this. I see your Instagram. You look like you are perfection. Like your family is just beautiful and everything's perfect. What about the business in your life is not perfect?
Well, I was going to say it's been quite the story to get here. You know, as artists, you work 1 month and then the first of the month hits and then you start again. We say, like, we don't know what's going to happen, but we're just trusting that it's going to be okay. Then we're going to just keep taking one step forward. And then, you know, as our story played out, here we are today. So it hasn't always been easy leading up to it. There's been a lot of pain and things that didn't make sense along the way. But now I think that's been such an important piece because I really seek out business builders. I really lead with the business probably 98% of the time. And it's because I know they're going to love the products. That's a given. But to know where we've been and where we've come, I want everyone to experience that and have that opportunity. So I think it's made my heart more intentional and soft towards that, if that makes sense.
So what was it like getting started? How did you get started?
It was very intimidating, but have you heard of Strength Finder before? Mm-hmm. So on Strength Finder, I'm Achiever, Maximizer. On the Enneagram, I'm a 3. So it's very much in me to throw myself into something. So quickly, we decided, you know, we're going to do this. And I decided...
Was Chris on board at that time?
Yes. I mean, it's looked different along the way. He was working full time. Actually, first, a portion of our season, he was chasing tornadoes, like gone. And that goes back to bouncing babies and videos and saying, you know, we can do this even when we don't have somebody right here, you know, watching the kids. You just invite them in. But I really wanted to create things where people could say yes to this business and come in and nothing would hold them back. So say they come in and they're not gifted at photography. Well, I want to have albums of beautiful photos that are just given to them freely. We have a mentorship that we created when I was an executive. It's been updated since then. But right off the bat, I never felt like I need to be at a certain point before I can do this. We did it right from the get-go. So we have a mentorship. So if somebody joined today, they could get plugged in with business training, class scripts, Facebook groups, business strategies, videos. We really just want, I say we because my leaders now are so much a part of everything that's going on and they're running their teams beautifully. But it really is this beautiful network of people step in and say yes, and then they're given hopefully so many tools where they can just go do the income producing activities and, you know, share their stories. They're not spending time on graphics or creating scripts. Those are done for them. They just need to, like you said, meet those needs.
Were those things there when you started?
No.
So you created it all yourself?
We created them. I have an upline that did have a boot camp, which was a great model for us, and she's amazing in that way. But, you know, I had my blog, and I wanted it to look a certain way and be branded a certain way. And so it's just been a really neat thing to be able to use my creativity and kind of merge it with my passion for business. So it's been fun. I mean, there's definitely been learning curves and things that when I created that very first boot camp that we had to tweak and make better. And
So given your experience, what advice would you give someone new getting started on things that will make the difference?
I would say if you have an upline that does have resources, plug in there. Don't spend time recreating something if it has been done for you. Income producing activities is always where it's at. And enrollments come from relationships. So really and truly, if you go back to relationships, that's going to be your best place to spend your time right off the bat, I would say. Relationships take time. And so if you're really thinking about a person and their needs and how you can meet those needs, it's going to come up naturally. Young Living will come up naturally because, you know, maybe it's sleep support or stress support. You know, there's just so many different ways that in a friendship that would easily come up. And, you know, so if you're investing in relationships, that will happen.
That's great advice.
So, thinking about when you did get started, what would you say were the biggest challenges that you faced?
I think it's hard comparison. You know, especially with social media, it can be really easy to see other people and say, wow, they're doing this really well, or they're doing this really fast, or, you know, do I have a spot at the table? And I think that's something that each of us really, no matter what rank you are, no matter, there's always somebody that you can look over and say, you know, am I doing this well, or do I have a place here? And it's something that I feel passionate about. No matter who you are and what your giftings are, you have a spot at the table. There is a place for everyone here to share your story. And I think as we each bring our giftings and our stories and the pieces of us, it becomes this puzzle. And if one was gone, then, you know, it wouldn't be a full puzzle. I think everybody has to come together in that way.
So thinking back on your Young Living experience to date, are there any, what milestones or experiences really stand out? Just thoughts that when you think about your journey that really jump out as meaningful for whatever reason.
This is going to sound silly, but last year, the RCD strategy meeting was so pivotal for me in my own personal story because I was intimidated and nervous, and I came in and everybody was so loving. And just like you said, just people, you know, you maybe build people up in your mind a certain way, and everybody was so amazing. And it just completely transformed my year. I felt more confident. I felt like I had a spot. You know, it made my leadership, I guess I sat into my position and felt like, okay, I have a voice here. I have a spot here. And so I actually wrote a post today in my business group saying, sometimes the things that feel scary, if we can stretch ourselves, are the things that free us. And that was like a very, you know, small little example, but had I been too scared to come, maybe all last year I would have wondered about things that last year around all these amazing leaders, I realized, oh, they're just so great. You know, this isn't scary or intimidating to be among all these great people.
They are great people. So I think it's understandable to feel intimidated, but they're ordinary people. You know, they're ordinary people just like everybody else. who've done, I think, some relatively extraordinary things, and in different ways too. Everyone's different. Not everyone, no one has built their business exactly the same, which is great. I think that spectrum of experience is really enriches Young Living, certainly. And I think it's a great personal experience to be around those different kinds of personalities and building styles and expertise in a variety of different ways and reasons. Was there a moment in your journey where you kind of had that realization that you could do this? It's like, this is something I can be that. I can be a Royal Crown, or I can, whatever your goals were. Is there a moment that you kind of had that experience, and could you share a bit about it?
Well, so on the Strength Finder, I also have futuristic. So I think from the moment that the opportunity was presented to me, I was like, I can do that. I can be that. And I think that belief is pivotal in everyone's story. You have to start there so that your actions can catch up with it, if that makes sense. I think that that's so important. And so something that I think that I've tried to do is really speak that belief over people, because not everybody can see that for themselves, and they may have pieces of their story that hold them back. And so to speak that over them and say, you know, this is what I see for you, and this is how you're going to get there. I think that's...
So I think that's really special and quite unique to have that belief from the very beginning. Could you give some advice or direction to somebody? What if I don't have that belief? How do I find it? Where does it come from? Do you have any advice for them?
I would say sometimes I think things in our past, they still speak to us. And you have to, as painful as that can be, sometimes revisit that and say, what is that whisper? What is that voice that I'm hearing that's telling me, you know, you're not good enough, or you can't do that, or nobody cares about your story? Because none of those things are true. And I really believe a lot of that stems from things, and you have to silence those, because that isn't true. You know, everybody here is wanted and needed, and even if you have no followers, you have influence in your life. You know, because a lot of times people will compare on social media. I'm like, there's people at your child's ballet class or that work with you. They're watching your story and they're connecting with you. They don't know me. They know you. You know, you've got to speak to that. So I think that's really important.
I think you're right. I think that's where it starts. You said it really well, that if you don't have the belief to start, it's I think it's impossible. You have to believe that you can and catch up to it. I think that's the way our founder Gary always was. He would much like you, he would see the future and paint the picture of the future and make it as vivid and crystal clear as possible. And I think that's intentional, because then you can run towards that and not be so... What we do so often is I think we look at all the reasons why we can't do it. If that goal isn't vivid enough, then you start focusing on and worrying about the challenges that you're going to face along the way, which inevitably you will. Of course, we have those. In your journey, did you ever think about giving up? Was there ever a point where you thought, I don't know if this is for me?
No.
Why not? Why do you think you never really had that entertaining thought? Or
just this opportunity is so unique. Even when I'm pitching this opportunity to people, it's residual income. It's a willable income. This is like such an unbelievable opportunity. And that's just speaking on the financial side. On the product side, the opportunity to walk beside families and walk beside people, it's like a dream job. Every day I'm like, is this even real life? So truly, I don't think anything could hold me back.
I think your business kind of proves that. Tell me about your favorite products. I mean, I know it's kind of like picking a favorite child, but...
I was like, how can you pick? When people ask my favorite oils, how can you pick? A few things that I love. I take Allerzyme at every meal, so I feel like it's, you know, always with me. I love Harmony, Valor, Joy, Progessence Plus, Frank. A lot of the emotional support oils I love.
What about Chris? What are his go-tos?
I'd say lots of Stress Away, Lavender, the lemon lavender peppermint combination for sure. Thieves.
What about your kids? What do they like?
I could tell you each kid. Adelaide, gentle baby, lavender, sleepy eyes. She asks from, she was like 10 months old asking for the purple oil. She wants the sleepy eyes. Apple, she loves lavender. She has owie oil by all our band-aids in every room with rollers. Let's see, Aiden, I guess they all love lavender. That's like the unicorn oil, right? Especially for kids.
Guaranteed. It's our top seller for a reason, I think.
Valor, he calls that one, what does he call it? His brave oil, I think he says. And then Ainsley, joy, tangerine, grapefruit, and she'll bring it to school. It's so cute.
That's great. That's so fun that they kind of have their own favorites and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. What are some of the daily practices you engage in that you think contribute to your success? What are some things that I, as a Young Living member, should be doing every day?
So I want to live a very intentional life. I guess probably most people do, but, you know, with our kids, I don't want to look at the end of the month and be like, where did the month go? So we put dates on the calendar, Apple Casey date, you know, Chris Aiden date at the beginning of the month. So I want to start my days intentional the same way I start our weeks and our months. So I'm going to have oils where we use them. So for example, before school, I have all their shoes lined up, their lunches, their backpacks. I've got Thieves right there with a roller top on there. They've got their hand purifiers in their bags. You know, I don't want to feel scattered and frantic. I want where we're using the oils to be. So we have diffusers in every room. I mean, we actually literally use just about every product. So I don't even know if I should start naming them. But, you know, the face products by my sink where I get ready, it's just out and it's used and it's a part of our life. And I can't imagine it not being, truly. I even sent hand soaps with my kids to put in their classrooms so that they were using our soap.
I do the same thing. So I guess that we're both probably a little bit obsessive. What about from the business side? What do you do for your business every day? Or what would you recommend really being focused on to contribute to your success if you're building a Young Living business?
Well, to be consistent. Consistency is key. I think especially for me with little kids at home, I have to be smart with my time. So if I'm going to sit down and have like a power hour, say Adelaide's napping, two of the kids are at school, I'm going to already know what I'm going to do in that hour. It's going to be intentional. It's going to be not scrolling Facebook. I'm not going to be responding to messages. It'll be truly, you know, responding to people, connecting with people, maybe figuring out a need, dropping a sample off somewhere. Then my mornings, I use this a lot with my team. I'll say, if you're already going to be, say, making beds or unloading the dishes by yourself, you know, then take that time and listen to voice messages, things that don't need to be done in that power hour. They can be done just more, you know, sitting in carpool line. I do lots of those kinds of things. But if you start your day knowing when those things are going to happen, it'll feel a lot less frantic. You won't get to the end of your day and feel frazzled. You'll think, okay, I had time set aside for those tasks. I'm a little bit of a people pleaser. So as I start to see the Facebook messages come in, you know, easily I could want to go there. But it really just is practicing every day to be disciplined in that way and realizing my day will go better if I just focus on what I need to in this moment. And then, you know, I will have time for that. But I think it's really a daily choice because I still have to remind myself of some of those things.
Yeah. I mean, I know I face it, so I can only imagine it must be very difficult. I've kind of already said this, but you, Chris, your family, you seem perfect. And we live in an imperfect world. So please help all of us feel better about ourselves by telling us, what are some of the things you don't do well? What are some things what are some of the imperfections of your life that make you real?
Well, I promise you we're not perfect. I always tell people that. I'm like, my kids are real kids. You know, we have our daily struggles. I let them down. You know, we're just real people. And my choice is to truly put beautiful things out into the world. I want to share our inspiring moments. I want to share the best of them. You know, I want them to be little lights. We do share raw, vulnerable pieces of ourselves, but not to share the worst of ourselves. But I can promise you that we're real people that make mistakes every day.
So. Yeah. It's a very common thing on social media, especially, and you already kind of touched on seeing the perfection and looking at someone and saying, wow, their life, they are perfect. And I'm not. My life is messy and I make mistakes. And so I think it does make it, it helps to feel real.
Somebody recently direct messaged me on Instagram and said something similar. You know, do you feel like you should share more of, you know, this or that? And I said, my choice with social media, like I said at the beginning, I really want this to be a love letter to my children. I want them to see how I saw them and how those beautiful moments were very real to me. And I want that to be shared in hopes that it inspires, you know, other people. It's an intentional choice to share in that way. It's, you know, it's not like our life is actually just a fairy tale.
Can you share some advice on social media? If I want to use social media in my business, what recommendations or advice would you give to me or other members?
I would say to share your story. It can feel vulnerable to be raw and really share, you know, some pieces you might think, oh, do I really want to, you know, share that out there? But you'll get so much more back. There is somebody that needs to connect with that part of you. And I really think that when you invite people into your story and into your life, it does, it just deepens that relationship. And, you know, then they're connected to you. So I really think that's the key to social media. Because, you know, there's so many accounts out there that look the same. And when you share your voice and your story, that's what makes you unique.
Is it worth getting at least some self-education or maybe a course on photography?
I do think photography is a big deal.
Your photography is great. And it makes it really fun to follow.
But, you know, I use my cell phone and I use apps. So I'm not even using, you know, it's not like I have a big fancy camera. So I think you could actually probably watch some YouTube videos.
Sure.
Really, truly. And learn.
YouTube is the world's university nowadays, it seems. What app do you use?
Okay, so I use Lightroom, and I use presets, and I also love the app Visco, and that's one that you could download pretty easily.
All right, so those are some very hot tips. Perfect. How do you build community in your team? Like, what have you done to create that connectedness with your Young Living organization?
So a lot of my team was built online, so Facebook's been very important, our Facebook groups, because we're not locally together. I mean, some people are. And back to the stories, you know, if I can bring in other leaders, because not everybody's going to connect with me and my personality. So I need to bring in other, I don't know if you've heard the colors, other giftings, other ways of building. That way there's somebody for everybody to connect to. And I think that that's what really stirs community is when, you know, everybody feels like, okay, there's someone here that I'm really connecting with.
So how do you do that as you build the business specifically around colors or different personality types? We all do some things well and other things not well. What are some of the things, or how do you compensate for the things you don't do well in your business?
So I bring in other voices. So I have zero green in me, and I have an amazing frontline builder. She's a platinum that I call her my green queen. So I bring her on. I have her talk about generations and numbers and spreadsheets and everything that I am not gifted in. And she's also so gracious. Like many times people will come to me with questions and I'm like, let me ask her, you know? So I do that with so many leaders, and then they do it with their leaders. And it's just so important because we don't have to be the best at everything, and giving ourselves permission to say, you know, that is huge, because it takes the pressure off. We can be gifted in our lane and then let other people step into this.
Do you do that intentionally where you say, I'm not a green. You are a green. Are you that specific about it? Or is it more, I don't really like the numbers. Can you talk the numbers?
No, I really will say that. And actually, I've had a few builders that are very, I'll use an example, very blue. And I'll say, I'm going to connect you with an amazing other blue leader because I know that you guys will thrive in this way, because that's the key. We want people to thrive. Of course, there's a connection, but that really like intimate, okay, you do this business like I do, or you're inspiring me with this story. I think that's huge.
I think it's huge too. I think the other thing I find with teams that do exactly what you're talking about is the shared ownership that they begin to feel. If it's all the Casey Wiegand show, then it's fine to be a part of the show, but I can never be a contributor. I can't be part of the cast. Right. It feels a lot better when I'm part of the cast, when I'm making my own contributions. So in addition to actually improving and strengthening the team, it also makes me feel like I'm contributing and that I'm a part of it and that I'm important. And I think in every organization that people need really three things when they get started, in my experience. One is they need to have connections, friends, people that care that they're there. Two is they need to have some degree of training, of information that they need in order to be able to get started and begin to share. And number three, I think, is exactly that, a responsibility or some kind of contribution that I feel like I'm valued for the team and the team needs me. It feels good to be needed, I think, for people. And I think that seems to be a hallmark of really great teams in Young Living, the ones that count on each other and embrace each other's differences and strengths rather than being critical of differences. Because you have that too in business, right? Seeing things differently, doing things differently, not always necessarily agreeing how to approach it, but allowing for those differences.
Well, that's one of the reasons we talk a lot about Enneagram, StrengthFinder, colors, because, you know, in a lot of ways, some of your builders, it is somewhat like a marriage. You know, you're in this for a long time together and we're all different. And so if you can really understand how somebody ticks, what inspires them, what their strengths are, one, it's going to remove a lot of frustration because we are different and we're going to run our businesses different. And two, it's just going to help you connect better with that person and see things through their eyes.
Yeah, absolutely. What advice would you give to someone who's just starting their Young Living journey or is curious about doing so? And we kind of talked a little bit about that from a business perspective, but just putting yourself in your shoes again when you first got started, what advice would you give to yourself or to anybody who's getting started, especially in this day and age?
I think one of the biggest things is first look at yourself and think, what's going to hold me back from truly owning this and sharing all of this? I think when we come in maybe a little bit nervous, other people might be nervous. They don't want to join somebody that's nervous. So if we can look at ourselves, and especially right from the beginning, and say, okay, what is it that's going to hold me back? And kind of look into our inner self and figure out what that is and maybe come over, try to work through that obstacle. That way that you can just come in consistent, you can own it, you can find that confidence, because confidence is huge. I'm not a very confident person, but I'm going to really own that because I want it for them and I want them to know that I believe in this, because I do with all my heart. So I think when they do that and they share their story, that's all they need to start, really and truly, because then it's going to come naturally, meeting needs and telling more and more of your story as you go.
That's such great advice. I love that. I do think people feel that emotion. And if the predominant emotion they're experiencing from you is nervous, it's a lot less actionable than excitement. You know, excitement is attractive, and I want to be a part of something that is exciting to you. And so I think that's brilliant advice. I think too often we are concerned about saying the right thing the right way and get so wrapped up in doing that that we forget about the fact that we just have to be ourselves and convey what we're feeling, that we're excited about, why we're doing it. And if we do that well, then I think the things that you say aren't actually nearly as important as the emotion that you're conveying as you do it.
Totally agree.
So anything else, any other bits of advice or anything else you'd tell someone who's just getting started?
I would say find a list of people that you love. We call them dream calls on my team, and go dream call them. You don't have to have a story. You know, at this point I have a story. So when I do a dream call, I'm telling my story. But in the beginning I didn't. And I would call people and say, this is where I'm going. I love you and I want to work with you every day. Come with me and let's do this, because you're going to have so much more excitement if you're running with people that you already love in your life every day anyways.
Yeah, absolutely.
We have, I will say, our team is very strategic. So we teach business strategies month after month. We talk a lot about generations, taking care of people. So I think if you can make an intentional list and be intentional, don't just come in hoping for the best, but say, you know, this is a business and I'm going to treat it very seriously. You'll go a lot faster.
Especially understanding the compensation plan. Yes. Both, I heard this bit of advice just recently, which I really love, which is place people based upon where you think they're going to thrive. Not so much where it's going to be best for your commission per se, because you want thriving business builders. And I, like you talked about, matching different personalities and people together that you know will accentuate and improve each other, rather than just looking purely at the compensation, even though that's obviously important too, is making your work count, but also doing it in a way that you know is, or at least is as calculated of a successful pairing and connection as you possibly can, I think.
When you take product users and you place them somewhere, not only are you looking out for them, but someone else is. And if you can say, they're also going to be meeting your needs. And I actually have this survey. I'm going to give full credit. One of my diamonds, Jessica Garvin, gave me this idea, and she's amazing. It's a survey in my welcome email. And you just find out a little bit about that person. Because, you know, and the way things are now, you may have an enrollment that you don't know. They may be at your kid's ballet class, but you don't, you know, it's a new friendship. And that way you can meet those needs right off the bat. Oh, I didn't realize that, you know, your child was looking for this or that. And then you can really walk those product users where they feel very plugged in right away.
Yeah, I think that's great. I think it's important to know the person as well as you possibly can. One of my mentors who taught me about prospecting and just, you know, when you're building a business, said that you should spend 90% of your time getting to know the person, because they tell you everything you need to know, and what their needs are, how you can help them, comes out in that conversation. So spend all of your time on that. And once you do that, and if you do that well, the rest of it kind of just naturally happens. So getting to know them, and especially in this day and age with a lot of social media where you may not know them as well, I think that's a great way to get to know them better and know how you can help them and make sure that this is resonating and meeting their needs. On the corporate side, we try and create the foundation, but it's really you that brings it to life and makes it mean something. So all of that said, what does the future hold for you? Where are we going? What's next?
Well, so we hit Royal on our 3-year anniversary or whatever from starting. And of course the top mantra of our team is we rise by lifting others. So I said, I'm not going to stop until every single one of you, you know, gets to the goal that you have made. And everybody's are different. That's the beauty of it, right? That you can make this goal or that goal. So watching other of my team succeed is like the greatest gift. It's so special. I feel like I get more excited when they hit goals than anything. And then also I've made just some personal goals, you know, for myself that are fun. I'm an achiever, so it's hard for me to want to stop.
Yeah, I love that. I think in my experience, it's a profound shift when a leader starts to be more enthusiastic about their team's achievement and realization of their goals than their own. And that's a hard thing because we usually start for our own goal, for our own reason. But that transition, I think, is really important. And I think it happens differently for different businesses at different times. But it's only through that, through lifting others, through their achievement and your enthusiasm for that and being so focused on that, it's almost counterintuitive because the more I focus on my own wants, my own goals, the harder it is to do. Because our business is truly one where by facilitating others, it kind of naturally happens. And almost the less you focus on that, and I'm not meaning to say we just shouldn't have goals. We definitely should. But if we're so focused on our own goals, we lose sight of the way we get there. And that's, I think, one of the best parts of our business.
Oh, I completely agree. I have the sweetest team. They are so amazing. Everything about them and all the different beautiful pieces that they bring is so inspiring. It's like such an honor to get to do what I do. just like you said, watching each of them pass their goals and succeed, it's really special.
I think I can speak on behalf of your team to say that you started it. You're the leader, kind of sets the tone and the culture of that team. And I'm sure if they were sitting in my seat right here, they would say that you're a big reason as to why you have that team that is supportive and sweet, a very harmonious place to be. I think a lot of that starts with the leader herself. So, well, thank you. We think the world of you. I hope you know, when they asked who we should start off with, you were the first person I thought of, because I feel like your business is dynamic. You're growing really quickly, which helps. And your abundance mentality, I just really wanted to be able to share that with our members, because there's so much there. And I hope that through your journey, your experience, and some of what you've shared today, some of our members who are listening to this will pick out some of those gems and realize and experience some of the magic that you have in that experience and that journey. And what does Young Living mean to you? I know it's very broad, but you think about Young Living and what it's kind of the place it holds in your life now. What does it mean to you and your family?
So I had the honor of getting to sit by Mary at a meal recently. And I said, I don't know if I'll get this opportunity again. So I just want you to know that Young Living has changed our life, which I'll probably get emotional. But I mean, it's changed the obvious pieces of our story, but even just the little moments in our everyday. I mean, how do you tell someone thank you for that? You know, it's been the greatest gift. And now to get to invite all these people that I love into this gift, it's amazing.
It is amazing. And so I appreciate you sharing it. I think there's more than anything else we can do. I think sharing your experience and other members like you will hopefully help members more than anything else we could possibly do. So I really appreciate your time opening up, being real and sharing with us some of the things that have really contributed to your success.
Well, thank you. It's such an honor to be here. I mean that.
That was Ben Riley speaking with Casey Wiegand a little bit about social media, balancing work and family life. Ben, what did you take away during this conversation?
So much good stuff. I think the Wiegands are amazing. I'm sure you'll probably agree with me having heard the podcast. I think one of the things that jumped out to me is how oftentimes our setbacks in life set us up for other things, for good things. And as you heard from Casey and Chris, they've been through their own sense of or share of trials, and they've been through those things. And I think they are where they are today because of those things and because of the way they faced tribulation in their lives with courage and really tried to strive for a better life and get beyond the place that they were in. So hopefully, again, you realize that none of us are perfect. We don't have perfect circumstances. It's what we do with those circumstances that matter. And I also hope you were able to take away some of the tips that she offered in terms of building a business, getting started, and learn from her journey itself. I find often the stories that we hear of the people, the real lives and their real circumstances are the most valuable training and information you can get on how to build a business here. It's the best roadmap that we have.
Absolutely. It's been such a pleasure, Ben. Thanks for joining us. Do you want to give us a little out?
Well, I just want to say thank you for listening to A Drop of Inspiration. We love this podcast, and there are more great stories coming your way. So if you're not subscribed, please subscribe, download, make sure your teams are doing the same. This is where there's a lot of really great content that'll keep you going.